Father, thank you so much for a chance to get together and to gather in your name, Father. And I pray that you would just give me wisdom as I speak, pour out the message you've given me, Lord. And I pray that whatever distractions from the week are with us, and whatever big things are happening in our life, that you would work on those things, God, and help us to just receive from you this morning. Amen. Okay, so let's, if we can get my first slide up there. I think it'll show up in a second. So I thought we'd talk a little bit about the nature of humans. And the reason I want to talk, I don't usually like to talk about ideals, because I feel like we do that a lot in the church. We focus on ideals. And there's a reason for that, because that's a target for us, right? Like, when we think of this would be the perfect situation, like, that's great. But the truth is, we are not ideals. And we're never going to be those ideals. And often those ideals are wrong. Often the ideal we have in our head that we're working towards is not only unattainable, but something we shouldn't be striving to attain in the first place. I think that comes up a lot in life, and that comes up a lot, and it affects us. And when I first came back from China, I got together with some friends, and the first friend I met, I'm like, oh, how are things doing? And he's all smiling. He's like, I've been super depressed. And I was like, really? And he's like, yeah, I've done nothing for like 2 months. I haven't hung out with anyone, and, you know, my leg's bad, so I haven't been hiking and doing the stuff I normally do. I've been really depressed. I meet my next friend. How are you doing? I've been super depressed. And he's like, yeah, I don't really know what's going on with life, and everyone's been busy, so we haven't gotten together, and, you know, there were all these COVID restrictions. I meet my other friend. I'm like, how are you doing? He goes, so-so. And I go, that's the best news I've heard all day. So-so is the best answer I got. And it turns out he'd been depressed too, but he was just phrasing it differently. But it made me think about like who we are at our base. And to do that, I really wanted to hap before sin enters the world. So we're gonna jump into part of Genesis here and talk about it. And now, Genesis, particularly these sections of Genesis, are kind of the Hebrew genre of poetry. So it's not really a science lesson. This isn't really meant to tell you about how exactly humans work. That's not the point of the story, but I'm going to do it anyways. And this lines up with my knowledge of Scripture as much as it can, but this is a little more my opinion than a lot of the talks I would normally give. So just fair warning, if some of you are like, well, this doesn't line up with this in my mind, that's fine. And I could be wrong about some of it, but this seems to line up with what I've experienced. So let's hop to the first verse there. So if you've probably read Genesis, it goes through the creation. First, there's kind of a list of things being created, and God's saying, this is good, this is good, this is good, this is good. And then it becomes a little bit more of a narrative going through some of those accounts. And that's where we're hopping in right here. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. Okay? So a couple things going on here. Again, this isn't really prescriptive because, they seem to be vegetarians and they're naked all the time, and I'm not really recommending you do that. So here we have, so first of all, in Genesis, they're with God, right? God's there this whole time. They talk to God. He's with them. That is not an issue they have. That's an issue we have. Next slide is God, okay? So, like, at our base, we're supposed to have that relationship with God. As those of you who are Christians believe that. Those of you who don't, we believe that that's something that you really kind of innately need to be complete in a real way. And I think that one of the main functions that does is give us purpose in life. And that without that, we really struggle with purpose as human beings. We put it all over the place, and it fails us again and again and again. So I'm gonna say that part represents purpose in my lesson today. So people without purpose are gonna struggle, and they're gonna be depressed. And at times, they're gonna kind of find purpose somewhere else, and that might carry them for a while. And all the things I'm saying are more about like how you can be your best self, or back to being good. maybe not perfect. Again, not necessarily that ideal. Okay, let's go to the next thing. Next slide. Work. So this is a picture from my office in Chengdu when I was working with kids. But in the beginning, prior to all of this, we had work. That was one of the core parts of our nature, is to work. Now, some of you have jobs you don't like, and you think, well, that doesn't sound right. and that's because work is a much bigger concept than a job. And I think of this as productive. You need to be productive in your life. Now, I know some people who do a job that they're not productive in, or, you know, they're just like manning a counter, and sometimes customers come in and that's draining and disappointing and they don't want to be there. But most of those people, if they're like not depressed, they've got hobbies they're really productive in, or other things they're really productive in. You know, when I was growing up in school, they told us, do what you love, do what you love. That needs to be the work you do. And a lot of my friends did what they love and then stopped loving it. You know, we were a pretty art-centered school here, so a lot of them went on to art school and then realized when art is your job, maybe it's not as fun. When somebody else is telling you what to draw and how and when and, you know, all of those kinds of things. And a lot of them just ended up getting other jobs, and were some of them kept art as a hobby, some of them didn't, you know. I used to tell my students it's okay to just make tents, you know, like that was Paul's job, was to make tents. His passion and purpose and productivity were elsewhere, and that was fine. You know, it's okay to just do a job and get a paycheck. That doesn't have to. But the work in Scripture is they're productive, right? And part of that is they're ruling over nature. Part of it is they're managing the garden. They're working with the land. We'll get to that in a little bit. But work is an innate part of who we are. And if you are not productive in any area of your life, I guarantee you're depressed. I've never met anyone who's not. Now, that's not to say you might not seem unproductive to somebody else. you know, I used to play video games a bit, don't have much time anymore, but I would play video games and you're like leveling up and stuff and you're like, yeah, I'm making some progress. You would have a feeling of accomplishment for a little while until I get to a point in the game where I'm like, man, I wasted like 20 hours playing this game over the course of 2 weeks. And then suddenly I just feel like mildly depressed, like what an unproductive way to spend time. But for a while there, I was getting that kick like I was productive until it suddenly dawned on me this was very unproductive, right? So this is a little bit of a mental thing, productivity and work. And really some of us could get that kick of productivity just by rephrasing some of the things we do. Some of us are productive, and we just don't view it as productive. You know, depending on the work you do and the way you interact with others, you might just be focusing on the wrong things. And really just a mental shift might kind of help you to be like, no, I did help. Like, I wanted to get this task done, but really I helped this person who was going through something. That was productive. You know, that conversation was important, even though I was trying to, you know, get this board nailed or whatever your job is. You know, sometimes how many of you have been interrupted in a task and had a productive conversation and kind of been annoyed that your task didn't get completed when you wanted it to get completed, right? Like all of us have been there. So sometimes it might just be rephrasing some of those things in our mind to help us kind of get there. But we need that productivity. And again, if you don't have it, like particularly now that we're so consumer-driven, like it could be easy to just receive, watch things and do all that kind of stuff and really let that productivity wane from our life and then get really sad about it. okay, so next slide here. This is another verse about work, Colossians 3:23-24. Whatever you do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of your inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. There's not actually that many verses on work. I kind of try to look for it. This one is used a lot when people talk about work. It is directed towards slaves initially, like so a little bit different. There's lots of verses on don't be lazy, but there's not really that many on work specifically. And usually when it's there, it's in relation to masters, but that's just kind of the nature of how the world worked then. You kind of worked under masters instead of, even in a non-slave context, your boss would kind of rule your life a bit more than is true in the States. So let's go to the next slide. Let's skip this one because I think that part's on the, yeah. The Lord God said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he could name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. Okay, so one of the reasons they seem to be vegetarians is there weren't animals before this. So now animals show up. But it seems in the context that the animals are kind of there to be companions. They're kind of there to connect with man, to be a helper, and kind of so he wouldn't be alone in this context. And it doesn't solve it. Man is not complete when animals show up. So whatever interactions he's having, and I would say this is still kind of an important aspect of who we are. So let's go to the next slide. And that's, I think, like we are innately connected to nature in a way that's hard to describe at times. When man falls, when original sin happens, the whole earth is cursed. Even the ground is cursed. It's lifted a little bit after the flood, but sin just permeates everything. Animals, plants, the environment, all of it gets innately worse. So we are tied to those things. And you see this in people. Man, how many of you have gone on a hike or climbed a mountain and just stopped and been in awe? How many of you watched a storm raging outside the window and been like, wow, God is mighty? And just like you feel innately that connection to creation when you experience nature. And having lived in a city for the last 7 years, man, they try to cram nature in there to stop people from being depressed. They got little parks all over the place. They got trees along the streets. They don't even have room to put the trees for real. So they like bundle up their roots and have like 2x4s holding them up and little IV bags so the trees can eat because they don't have room for their roots. But they realize that you need that connection to nature in some form or you're going to get depressed. Now, that might not be most people here. We live on Whidbey Island. There's a heck of a lot of nature around. You don't feel these things as strongly when you have them, right? When you have that relationship with God, that's probably not the biggest part missing in your heart. And when you have that connection to nature, that's not the biggest part missing in your heart, right? But when you don't, you feel this very keenly. And even on the island, some people can shut themselves off. I'm sure everyone's known a teenager who just tried to live in their bedroom for like a year and, play video games and chat with their friends and they never go get fresh air. And that also affects your physical health, right? Which can cause depression on its own. That's not really part of the message today. But, we need that connection to nature. It's an innate part of what it means to be human. And Romans 1:20, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. So it's also talking about the connection nature has with God, and, you know, we're all in this together. It ties back to God, because God made everything. So nature. So if you're depressed and you haven't been getting exercise, you haven't been going for hikes, you haven't been going out in the woods, you haven't been doing stuff, like that can really help. I've known a lot of people who are struggling with those things. And when they got back to nature a little bit, felt that connection a little bit more, took their focus off themselves a little bit, it can really help. Let's go to the next slide here. Genesis 2:21-24. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. Next slide is just a continuation. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh." Now, obviously, there's romance. There's lots of stuff going on here in terms of niches this feels for humans. What I want to focus on is just the fact that man having those other things, it still wasn't good for him to be alone. So we had a bunch of, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's not good. And I think bigger than romance, what this brings is more people. So the other part missing is companionship in that real way. It's connection. So let's go to the next slide here. It's just man, right? Some versions say, that's another verse. I'll get there in a second. Jumping ahead of myself. We need other people to not be depressed. You can't be alone, even with nature, even with God, and wrestle with these things. I'm not saying you can't go a time with those things. I'm not saying you couldn't suffer and be a real Christian and take some of that suffering as part of it. Plenty of people throughout history have done that and have actually avoided other people as a form of suffering for God. We can do those things. But if you want to be balanced and not wrestling with depression, you need other people in your life. And there's numerous reasons for that. Let's go to the next slide. I think that's Ecclesiastes. Again, I saw something meaningless under the sun. There was a man all alone. He had neither a son nor brother. There is no end to his toil. Yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. "For whom am I toiling?" he asked. "And why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This too is meaningless, a miserable business. Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, the one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though you may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not easily broken." So this is just the idea that we need more people, like, and we do. And the next verse, too, is, "As iron sharpens iron, one person sharpens another." Now, this part of humanity, this part of connection needs a little more context. Because it does seem like we need people to not be alone. But it's also true that we sharpen each other. Has anyone sharpened something before? Taken a file or a sharpening stone? Yeah, some people have. It's really easy to mess it up. You know, it really is. If you're going to sharpen your own chainsaw or something, it's not like any sharpening works. You can't just, and you see that with people, too. You put some people in the room and they make each other worse. They really do. They're sharpening the wrong parts of each other. And so some verses I read said, one friend sharpens another. And I don't think that's quite accurate either. Friends can sharpen each other well, but I've known people who end up surrounding themselves with themselves. You know what I mean? They find people that have the exact same beliefs as them and enjoy the exact same things they do, and they are not sharpening each other at all. They're just kind of there sitting contentedly saying, like, this is the way we should be. We don't need to change or sharpen. And this came especially clear to me through COVID and people being cut off from each other. I had friends who would get together for game nights pretty regularly. And throughout COVID, they didn't. And then they kind of wanted to go do game night, but they were like nervous and anxious to be around other people. They hadn't been around people that much. And it was because innately they knew they're going to get rubbed in a way they don't really want to be rubbed. Even though these are their friends and they like theoretically hanging out with these people, they know there's going to be a cost to it. And so particularly when you don't do it for a while, it becomes more and more intimidating to go and be sharpened by other people. We want to just stay the way we are, right? And we can, but then we're not making progress. We're just kind of staying there. And people are really necessary for growth because that's how we grow. That's how we turn into what God wants us to be. That's how we turn into who we should be, is the right kind of sharpening. And again, that's not everyone to you, and it might not be, you know, there's people, I call them high maintenance people. I tend to like people in general, but some people, somehow things blow out of hand with them, and they're extra draining to me. So I tend to avoid those people a little bit. They don't really make me a better person when I spend time with them. I'm just exhausted. You know, I'm just exhausted afterwards. I don't necessarily avoid them all the time, but like, and nobody here, but a couple people I knew in China. but they're just exhausting, you know. And different people are like that for you, I'm sure. And some people probably make you a worse human being when you deal with them because your personalities conflict and arguments happen and all those kinds of things. But there are people you should surround yourself with who are going to sharpen you in the direction you should be sharpened or you want to be sharpened. And, man, you need to seek them out. A lot of great stuff happened through COVID, but a lot of people stopped interacting with people that rubbed them. Rubbed them away. They're not sure they want to be, even if they think that's the right thing to happen, right? Great that we can have people watching from home. Great. And I've used that a whole bunch because my kids were sick for like a solid month. We didn't want to bring them in here. But it can be a temptation to just avoid people. And the problem is the longer you avoid people, the harder it gets. The harder it gets to step back into that grinding that happens. And so, like, yeah, with my friends who were depressed, a big part of that was they just hadn't been around other people. And they were also nervous about stepping back into that, right? Which is, it's a real thing. How much time do I have? Okay, I'm doing pretty good. Last time I was way over. So, let's go to the next slide. I think that's my summary slide. So in this story in Genesis, this is before sin, and, you know, sin messes things up. Sin changes a lot. We have God, who I'm saying we need that purpose that God brings. Work, which is that productive aspect. Nature, which is, you know, recharge, connection, awe. Man, loneliness, growth. We need these things to not be depressed, just to function as a normal human. And it's much harder with sin in the picture. You know, we never, even when we have God, we're not back to who we were in the garden. You know, there's a I heard a message once, and he was talking about this Japanese art where they would, the Chinese, They would get china from China, so the dishes. And when they broke in Japan, they would patch them up, initially with lead, and then they started using silver, and then they started using gold to patch up these Chinese plates with the beautiful blue dyes on them. And so when they're done, it became an art form where you just have gold filling all the cracks. And you just have this beautiful picture. And I think that's what a human is with God, is we're this broken thing. And those cracks aren't gone. But you know, like even in our brokenness, there's a beauty that God brings to us. That doesn't mean you're not going to see those cracks in other people. And that doesn't mean that sometimes we're not sharpening people the way we should be sharpening people. I'm sure all of us, at the same time, we're avoiding certain people, they're avoiding us, because we're going to sharpen them the wrong way and take them in a direction they shouldn't. And some people want to be sharpened the wrong way. I mean, right? like there's a reason it's easier to surround yourself with people who are yourself. You know, like I, since I taught at a school that's kind of an isolated international community, like people who go to this school, right? Like you kind of know everyone in your class, and you're friends with people you wouldn't be friends with in other contexts. And you kind of got a force to figure that out. And there's a real beauty in that, particularly as you get older, because when you go to college, mainly you make friends with people who are in the same, studying the same thing as you, or you know, you have an interest, so you're friends around that interest or something like that. But you don't really get that kind of community of otherness that I think you kind of want to be a better person. So those were the thoughts I had. I hope that if you are experiencing depression or you know somebody who's experiencing some depression, that this helps a little bit in terms of just kind of, again, an ideal, not really what we're ever... We probably all of us are going to be struggling with balancing these things. I said that so I didn't go over again, but yeah. So let me just pray, and then I'll send you out. I think I'm the last one on stage. I hope this helps you give some context for yourself for what we're supposed to be. Father, thank you so much. You're a big part of this, and I didn't really focus on you as much in this story just because you were kind of assumed the whole time, but we thank you that you fill those parts of us. We thank you that you're the gold in our life in the midst of our cracks. And Father, for those who don't have productive work, Father, I pray that you would bring productivity into their life. And for those who aren't connected to nature, Father, that you would just mend that. And for those who have been avoiding sharpening, Lord, I pray that you would bring sharpening in their lives that makes them better and that they can sharpen others, Lord. And just give us wisdom as we go forth. Amen.